Please pray with me. God, grant that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts and the witness of all our lives be acceptable to you. Amen. So I want to share just a little bit because I want you to hear from all of them. In August, as you'll hear, we traveled as a group to El Paso, Texas to visit our friends at Cristo Rey Lutheran Church, with whom we are a mission partner congregation, and to do a border immersion. This was a very special experience for me because I was a full-time volunteer with Cristo Rey 15 years ago for a year of my life. It was an important place for me in my faith journey. It was a formative time that I was there, and really my understanding of what it means to be the church, the way I think about communion, many things are rooted in this time that I spent with Cristo Rey. And I was surprised at how moving it was to be able to share that with this group from faith and to see how it moved them. What struck me this trip was how we were hearing stories of difficult journeys, and it struck me as I heard the reading of the first story this morning, how many stories in Scripture are stories of people journeying, of people migrating, and of people facing difficult journeys and their doubt and faith in the midst of those journeys. And really, that's what we heard for our week in El Paso. We heard many stories of journeys and migration and really difficult circumstances. But I was struck by how much joy and trust we heard from the people who were telling us these very difficult stories. There was one story we visited, and they welcomed us into their home, and it really was fun to be with them. But their story was a difficult story of the family being separated and the mother struggling to figure out how she would all of a sudden figure out how to support four children on her own. We heard about the father's difficult journey to get back to them. And he said to us, "A family separated is an ugly thing." But what we saw in our time with them was the beauty of their being together and how much joy they had just to be together. And we also heard in their story their just rock-solid faith, even as they faced these incredibly difficult circumstances. The mother and the father, as they told their stories, they kept saying, "It made me think of this story in Scripture, and it made me think of this story in Scripture." And so I was inspired by the way they so clearly saw God working in their lives, just as they thought of the stories in Scripture that talk about God working in the lives of the people that we hear about in Scripture. They saw that in their own lives too. And there were two other people in particular that struck me with their deep sense of joy and their sense of call in the midst of doing really difficult and sometimes dangerous work. Doctora Mendoza is a medical missionary, really. She's a doctor. She serves the very poorest in Juarez, and she has been doing so for more than 25 or 30 years, I think. She operates a couple of independent clinics. And she's just, well, she seems like she's just tireless, and she speaks about her work with such passion. But one of us asked her when we were with her, "Don't you ever get tired?" And she said, "Well, yes, some mornings I wake up, and I feel tired, and I don't want to drive over into Juarez again." But she said, "Then I hear the cries of the mothers and the babies who need my care. And so I think, okay, I'll go in one more day." And it was, yeah, I was just inspired and so moved by her humility and her strength and passion, and just living that out day by day. Just waking up in the morning and saying, "Yes, I'm tired, but I'm still needed, and so I'm going to go again this morning." And then one other woman, Estella, is one of the women who administers the Mexico Scholarship Fund that we as a church support. She does many, many other kinds of work in her community, but that's one of the ways that we're connected with her, and Pastor Brian has been connected with her through other churches that he has been at that has supported the scholarship fund as well. And she told us, she lives in Anapra. She lives in Lomas de Peleo, which is a particular section of Anapra, which is a kind of a suburb, but a very, very poor suburb of Juarez. And she was one of the first families to move out there, so the houses were even more ramshackle when she first lived there. There were very few houses, and it was a lonely, lonely, dusty place. But she told us, "I found a treasure here in Anapra." And what she meant was that she found her sense of call. She's a leader in her community, and she does lots of different kinds of work, but she has such a sense of joy at serving her community. She said, "I found a treasure here." And she talked about how even when the violence in Juarez was quite intense and her family asked her to stop because she wasn't doing anything controversial, she was helping school children go to school, helping families that needed help in her community, but any kind of thing that sort of raised your profile in the community was potentially dangerous, and so her family said, "Please stop." And she thought about it, and she prayed about it, and she sat them down, and she said, "I love you, and I am so thankful for my life with you, and I am going to continue doing what I do because I feel called by God to do this work, and I get such joy from it, and I'm going to trust that God will continue to protect me, even in this difficult time and in this dangerous time." So those were just a few of the experiences that were particularly moving and struck me this time, and made me feel even more grateful that we as a congregation have this connection with Cristo Rey, that groups like ours and other groups from faith will go and meet the people of Cristo Rey and hear their stories. And when we met yesterday to practice, we talked about, was there anything that we need to share that we haven't all said? And what the group said was, we need to say how important it is that we continue to support Cristo Rey. So I want to say to you, on behalf of the group, it's important that we continue to support Cristo Rey. And one reason is, we saw how they, a very poor congregation, do so much with so little. They have an after-school program. They support families in the colonias, which you'll hear a little bit about. They're poor, very poor kind of developments on the outskirts of El Paso and Juarez. They support Dr. Mendoza's medical mission in Juarez. They do so much, and so our support means a lot to them. But I think it's also important for us to stay connected with them because of that passion and sense of call that inspired me when I was there. I think that through our relationship with Cristo Rey, we can learn and we can grow in our own sense of mission here, in how we are called to be a church that walks with the poor and follows Jesus in our place here. So I'm thankful for the connection that we've already had and for this opportunity I had to travel to Cristo Rey with this group in particular. And I look forward to our continued growing support of and friendship with Cristo Rey. So I just talked a lot more than I meant to. And now I want you to hear from the group who went. So I invite them to come forward.
Hi, my name is Nicolette, and I am one of the youth that got to go to El Paso, Texas in August. Well, in El Paso, we got to meet a lot of people and hear their stories about their experience on the border. Of those people that we met, one woman named Carmen has really inspired me. Carmen, who now lives in El Paso, used to live in Juarez, Mexico with her children and her abusive husband. Carmen also took care of her niece, Maria, who was born with mental and physical disabilities. Carmen raised her as if she was her own daughter. Maria was very ill, and Carmen couldn't find the medical attention that Maria needed badly, so Carmen decided to leave her abusive husband in Juarez and take her children and Maria to El Paso, Texas, so they could get the medical attention that Maria needed. When they got to El Paso, Maria got the medical attention, and Carmen met her second husband, who was a resident of the U.S. Carmen's second husband was also abusive, and because of that, they were eligible for a U visa, so they could stay there in El Paso, Texas. Even with the medical attention that Maria was getting, doctors told Carmen that Maria wouldn't live very long, but Maria lived to be 26 years old. Carmen says that Maria was a very happy person and was always smiling. Maria's passing away was very hard for Carmen, but Carmen says that it was God's plan for her. Carmen is happy that she got to know and love such a wonderful person. During this whole experience, Carmen and Maria never gave up, and they kept their faith in God. This story has really inspired me because I'm going to be confirmed next month, and hearing this story has really strengthened my faith in God. It has also reassured me about my confirmation, and I'm really glad that I got to go to El Paso. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Yusuf, and I was one of the youth who went to El Paso over the summer. El Paso, like any other city, has a culture all of its own. Its unique location to the border seems to affect the lives of its citizens, to be honest, not necessarily in a good way. I see the city as simply an extension of Mexico and the problems that come with that. If you've been in both Juarez and El Paso like we have, you can see the similarities between the two cities and why I came to this conclusion. Now, that area differs from this part of the country, differ a lot. Here in Northern Virginia, we live in one of, if not the, richest areas in the country. Being in one of the richest areas in perhaps the most wealthiest country in the world, that's saying a lot. So now shift to El Paso, as we were over the summer, another city in the wealthiest country in the world, and the difference is just staggering. Toward the end of our trip, we sat down with Pastor Rosemary and sort of compared how much we make in our area, how much they make, and the expenses that factor in every month, every week. I don't remember the exact amounts that we compared, but it was really eye-opening for me. How is it possible that we could live in this area and exist in the same country as El Paso? El Paso isn't even the worst-off city in this country, but because El Paso is part of the U.S., it's still in better shape than Juarez. Can be a hard life in El Paso. Low wages, long hours, and lack of the healthy food. It's considered a food desert, meaning you have to travel a good distance to get fresh, healthy food. I definitely have become more appreciative of the quality of our life here. A nice little bubble here in Arlington. We worry a lot less about, you know, the quality of our food, and most of us earn pretty decent wages. And a lot of us have great access to education, and even here in Virginia, there's a lot of great colleges to choose from. I was glad to have been able to take a trip to a less well-off part of the country, see other people's lives, and to help me appreciate my own so much more. I don't want to sound too negative. There's a lot of great things about El Paso. The community there is really strong. Their faith is also extremely strong. It's just that the condition is really what struck me. And it was eye-opening to realize that even though El Paso is relatively, you know, poor, still in pretty decent shape in comparison to Juarez. I am proud of what this congregation can do for El Paso through our work with Cristo Rey. And even if it is a small amount, it still affects a lot, and it's very important. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Michelle Lomberg. This summer, myself and a couple other youth took a trip down to the border. I hadn't been on a plane in 7 years, so I was a bit hesitant on going, but it was an unbelievable experience, and I'm glad I went. Throughout the week, we met and heard stories from several people. Though I enjoyed hearing every one of their stories, if I had to choose one that was special to me, it would have to be Dr. Mendoza's. Dr. Mendoza is probably one of the bravest, most selfless people I have ever met. She owns a clinic in Anapra, Juarez, and aside from living literally right next to gang members, goes to work every day with a smile on her face. Dr. Mendoza's clinic takes in patients who don't have enough money or can't afford going to a hospital. Lucky for them, she takes in people of all ages and offers dental and medical care. One of the things I admired most about Dr. Mendoza was that she wasn't wealthy and she lived a simple lifestyle, but she was happy that way. She serves the poor, and the money plays no part for her. She does her job solely for the purpose of helping people who are less fortunate and is just as good as any wealthy doctor. Meeting Dr. Mendoza and visiting her clinic made me see my future differently. I've always wanted to be some sort of doctor, but until now I've never really given much thought as to why I wanted to be a doctor. Now I know it's because I really like biology because it interests me and I'd like to help people. I hope I can go back and visit Dr. Mendoza one day. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Inia. I got the opportunity to travel to El Paso, Texas, with youth group and Pastor Yvette's family. I have the privilege to meet a wonderful lady. She was very compassionate and has really impacted me. The lady runs a cafe in El Paso called the Mustard Seed Cafe. The unique thing about this cafe is that it runs on volunteers. These volunteers are family, friends, and members of the community who has donated their time to help out at the cafe. The lady who runs the cafe said one day, "I am not happy with the kind of job I'm doing." I'm sorry. I don't want to live this way. Instead, I want to help people and make a difference in my community. A thought came to her mind that she could start a cafe where you don't always have to pay for your meals. Instead, you could volunteer at the cafe. She started calling family, friends, neighbors, and anybody that could donate time, money, furniture, or knowledge to the cafe. Knowledge, she said, because she didn't know anything about numbers, so she was very sure she needs to have somebody like that. The cafe grows its own vegetables with its very own garden. When we went to the cafe, we spent 2 hours in the garden and helped cleaning up tables, floors, anything they need us to do. After helping there, we got our free meal. It was delicious, believe me. Something I never expect from a cafe. Everybody there and the Mustard Seed Cafe was so nice. And the cafe itself is beautiful. But more important, the people always have a smile. And they donate their time. They don't care. They're always ready. What I learned from this experience was that you don't need a lot of money to make a difference in your community. As the deacon of outreach, I ask everybody of you to find a way to help out our church and in our church. There is a lot of things we can do in this church to make a difference and be different from other churches. Thank you.
My name is Claire, and like everybody else, I went to El Paso. I've thought a lot about what to share in my section of the sermon today. We experience so much in 1 week that it is hard to pick just one thing to focus on, one message to pass along to others. During the week, I got the opportunity to hear many individuals' personal stories. They resonated with me, and I'd love for more people to understand them, but I don't think that I can retell them the same way. There's a huge difference between hearing something secondhand or on the news than hearing it directly from the person it happened to. This was something I learned my first day in El Paso. I don't want to try to unsuccessfully convey all the details of El Paso, so instead, I want to talk about something that I heard from numerous sources throughout the trip. I like to think of it as a theme of the trip. If something is mentioned so often, from so many different people, then I find that it must be important. Simplification. When I see the word simplify, one of the first things that pops into my mind is math. Just this past week in math class, we've been learning how to solve for derivatives by hand. One way to do this is to simplify the function algebraically. It's critical to simplify the function, otherwise you'll end up getting undefined for every single answer, even though the answer is there. It's just hidden by a more complex equation. More is not always more. Having a lot of extra stuff may actually cover up the smaller things, or more meaningful things that are just hiding beneath the surface. To simplify is to see and live more honestly, beautifully, and completely. Three definitions are: A, to reduce to basic essentials; B, to diminish in scope or complexity; C, to make more intelligible, clarify. Simplification does involve getting rid of stuff, but it allows one to recognize and then hold on to the important things. Simplifying your life can also allow you to see beyond your circle of loved ones and reach out to others in need of your help. Reaching beyond your circle was another major theme of the week that I heard many people speak of, and I think it connects to simplifying. I think that one very general way anybody can simplify and reach out is with their attitude. Just by looking around and paying attention to new and different things, you naturally start to become more aware of other people and other situations. It's too easy to become wrapped up in our own lives, our own dreams, our own families. It's good to care about these things, but in order to better the world, it's critical to reach outside of your own little circle and touch others, even if they're strangers. I believe that if we simplify, it will allow us to think consciously and become aware of our lives and the effect we have. I don't want to live the exact same day over and over again, repeating unconscious habits. I want to be willing to question things instead of just falling into the rut of my environment. I feel that living with less is one way to free our minds so that we can think of things bigger than ourselves. When I think of the word simplify, I think of more than just math. Just one word can have so many meanings and connotations. Now for me, it's a way to strive to live by. So that pretty much wraps up my sermon, but I'd also like to make an announcement for our group. All of what we've experienced together really made us want to continue helping to support the people who we met. So we're going to be holding another fundraiser with food coming up soon, so just stay tuned for details on that.
Okay, thanks to all of you for sharing, and I just want to say thanks to all of you also for supporting our trip. We did a number of fundraisers to help us raise the raise funds for the expenses, so thank you for that. And also, as Claire mentioned, we are going to be doing another fundraiser, but this time the group decided we'd like to do this fundraiser to help support Cristo Rey and their after-school program and Dr. Mendoza's medical missions. So as Claire said, stay tuned for that.